Lesson 32, and last week as we left off, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We got down to most part of 21. But as we study those two verses, if you think about it, we saw that there is a realm of doctrine and information that you need to keep in your mind. And that's what the context is all about in Ephesians chapter 3 that we're looking at. And you keep in your mind and you keep in your conscience and your thoughts about the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and that participation in that glorification in ages to come. You know, we think about what our impact it is today in the body of Christ and corporately as we come, it impacts us ages to come. The future, it's not so much now. We know what it's doing now if you think about it. But if you keep in realm of that doctrine and that understanding about the future glory that God has through the church and the body of Christ, you will be able to endure persecutions. And that's what we looked at in the last lessons. But if you keep in the realm of knowledge and information that the doctrine in your mind, I keep mentioning doctrine and doctrine and doctrine. We know what doctrine is? It's teaching. I've never heard that word so much in my life until I started listening to dispensational truths. Because doctrine is teachings, and we know people, when they teach a new doctrine. You keep it in your mind, and you have on that helmet, the hope of salvation. And that hope is that you have out there, and it gives us the ability to endure the present sufferings that count, that is count almost nothing because it's out in the future. When we have that hope of salvation, isn't that what we have on? And it's a deliverance that we have future out there. In Ephesians chapter 3, that's what he's saying in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you think about it, he's going to get glory throughout all ages to come through the church because of the wonderful power that is working in us now. You may not feel like he's working in you now. You know, some of the decisions we make, and we're going to be looking at these things and some of the things we ask for, and it don't happen, we wonder what's going on. But the thing is, we do have. What we do by his power today is going to bring glory to him throughout all ages. And your and I ministry isn't so much now, even though we want to see some things happening now. We want to see people, new people, come to understanding the truth. We want to see people walk from death to life, don't we? We want to see that type of thing. That's great. But the impact of the ministry is out there, and God has fixed it that way and assured it, and it will work just that way out in the future. Because, you know, our home is not really here, is it? How many times do you think about that? Honestly, think about that. But isn't it wonderful to have a home? You know, you got a warmth home, you got your jobs and all that stuff, and you just feel comfortable when you go home. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. You can go out and visit moms and dads and uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, but there's nothing like being at home. When you get home and kick your shoes off, I don't care how cluttered it is, it's just nice to be home. But unto him be the glory in the church. And what is the church? It's the body of Christ, isn't it? That's who we are particular in members of. And the local church is a representative of that whole body. So as the power works in us individually, and then in the local church, it represents the whole thing out there. Because don't God, Jesus Christ, come and get the church out? Don't he pull the church out? He don't pull so much you and I out. You know, I heard a lot of faithful believers say, well, when you don't do your job, God takes you out. You know, like an ambassador, when you're an ambassador in a foreign country, if you're not doing your job the right way, what does the government do? They pull you out. And I'm trying to think about that. Would God really pull you out if you're not doing your job here today? So that's kind of like iffy, you know, but you want to remember the fact that we're part of the whole thing, not just individually, but whole. And you want to remember that God works through the body of Christ indirectly in the world today. You know, the Spirit of God, if you think about it, takes the Word and works in the life of the believer, works through the assembly. Just like that song we just sung, I trust him whom he fully persuaded. That's working in us. We have to trust somebody, don't we? You know, and the believers collectively band together and their influence spreads throughout. When we get together corporately, we want to know what each other's doing. We want to know what everybody's going through. And we can help another person and within each other. How is the power that is working in us displayed? You ever thought about that? How is God working through not only you, but through the body of Christ, through the local church? How is it displayed? It's displayed through the church, isn't it? And how is it displayed through the church? Not only locally is displayed, but through the church. How do we recognize and display the power of God today?
Through the gospel.
That's how we get the word out, isn't it? But how is it displayed? How is the power of God right now displayed?
Preaching
the word. How is God's power manifested? See, these are a lot of questions out there, and I know some of us went through some prayer issues, and you know, Paul seems like he's doing this, and Paul seems like he's doing that. But I want you to think of the context that we're talking here, and the thing. It is manifest. Let me ask you: is it manifested by sensational supernatural miracles?
No.
You know that not to be true. You jumped right on that. You know it isn't, is it? That is a question, though, isn't it? Because you have people out there that says. And if you say no, God isn't how God's working. The power is working through He's not manifesting that way today through people. You watch people start picking up rocks, don't you?
Yeah.
They'll get books. They'll start backing up. They'll start loading their shotguns or do anything they want to do, and they're going to come after you. Because people look at you and say, okay, now how is it that God's manifested Himself today? Good question, isn't it? If He's not supernaturally doing things today, which I believe He's not, don't throw rocks at me or not, but I'm going to share something with you, and you can believe it for yourself, but the thing is, you got to believe the Word of God, and you got to believe the context in which what we're talking about here. One of the real shortcomings, if you think about it, is the evidence among grace people is that we understand and say God is not performing miracles today as He once did. Right? We say that. I should say. And that the healing programs are not in operation today. And people are not walking on water today. And demons are not being cast out today. And the dead are not being raised up. And storms are not being sent back to God, back through the horizon. That's not what God is doing today. But God is not manifesting His power in that way today. Now, you could break all that stuff down, pick and choose whatever you want to. Well, I think He's doing this, I think He's doing that. But as of what He's doing today really affects who we are in the Word of God. You know, so when you say that to people, they feel cheated, don't they? They feel robbed. Like, what? God's not doing that? But God's not doing that? But God... And they just feel just like you just took their whole, you jerked the carpet out from under. You took their little Dutch baby away from without powdered sugar on it, you know? That type of thing. People may argue and say, but then you are saying that He isn't working, and there He isn't anything. There isn't anything. You know, people say that, won't they? They say, okay, then God's not doing nothing. And they feel like you took their physical things away and that you robbed them and they become bankrupt. You just took everything away from them because how many of us in the past believe it? You know, we prayed for all kinds of things and when I was small, you know, wanting this, wanting that. It didn't come to fruition, but I wanted them and I prayed to God. You know, I prayed for healings. I prayed for this. I prayed for that. But the thing is, did it happen? Did I feel cheated when you came to me and says, God ain't doing that today, brother. This is what He's doing. And you're like, what? You know, it does. What is it? It really does. And you're like, whoa, where am I at? That's why it's important to understand the doctrine that He's taught here. Listen, Paul is telling them here, telling them with Ephesians, you are not bankrupt. You are wealthy. And that's what he talked about in chapters 1, 2, 3 up to this point. And look at your wealth that you have and you're standing right now in Christ Jesus. You have all spiritual blessings. You with me? You're made to sit Isn't that much more wonderful? You're not bankrupt. You're not weak. You're not sick. You're not unworthy. You're healthy and wealthy. And how is God's power displayed today? And how do you recognize it, if you think about this? How do you see it? You know, how do you know when you have seen it? Do you know when you have seen it and when you haven't seen it? See, these are some things that, you know, let me share this with you. Each one of us in here right now are at different levels in our spiritual life. And I can't make you be where I'm at. And you can't make me be where you're at. That's why it's very important to get in the Word and let that Word work effectively in you. And then when you see the circumstances come up, and then when you see this, you can say, whoa, wait a minute. What did God's Word say? You know, how do I discern this compared to this? And when somebody walks in here and they perform a miracle, let's just say they did. What would be the demonstration of God's almighty power on display there? What is it?
Them.
Them, wouldn't it? That's a good point. Because let's somebody comes up to you and does all that stuff, and they do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see it. And many of you probably have in times past. You're like, well, man, I saw him wake up. You know, they counted him as dead. You know, I seen him walk on that riverbank, off in the waters. You know, yeah, I seen it for my own eyes. You know, that type of thing. How do you know if you've seen the power of God on display?
It has to line up with His Word.
You know, do you see how deception that is? Compared to what we're studying out now, we're not picking and choosing. We're studying to stay in contact what God, through Paul, was telling Ephesians, and then we can gain from it. But the occult comes in with miraculous demonstrations. I didn't say cult, did I? I said occult. You know what a cult is? A system of religious worship. And it's a modern day word. So a system of religious worship, that could be Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. Occult is what you got to watch out for. That's devil stuff. But when we study back in Matthew chapter 7, we're not turning there. We went over and over in the book of Deuteronomy when Lord Jesus Christ was doing miracles and stuff. You know, in Deuteronomy it says if a man comes in here, basically, and he performs a sign and wonder, and the sign and the wonder comes to pass, but the man doesn't tell you to do what God's Word says, that you're supposed to, you know what you're supposed to do with him?
Stone.
Cut him off. Cut him out. You cut him away. Because God is trying to get you to see whether or not you see something of your own, or whether or not you go to the book to see if it's true. Now, you know the verse, we walk by faith, not by sight, don't you? That's what this is all about. You think your mind can trick you seeing things? You think your mind, when you read things or watch things on TV, like, that just tricked me. The wiles of the devil, the trickery, man's cunning craftiness. You know, we can do anything we want to and be tricked, can't we? I mean, you're in your mind. That's where it's at. When you open your eyes, it's like, I know I've seen that. I know I've seen that. You know, that type of thing. But whether you are walking by faith or whether you're walking just to get what you want to get, that's the thing. Are you going to walk on faith on what we're talking about, or are you going to walk on faith at the fact I'm going to get what I want to get? Because I deserve what I want. You know what I deserve? You know what I deserve? I deserved the pits of hell, what I deserved. But God died for me, and was I there? How do I know He died for me? It's in the Word, isn't it? It's in the Word. That's the only way. So I have to go and believe that Word that God died for me and He was buried and rose again. And if that is true in Israel, that He told them to, if you don't go to God's Word to see if it's true, to cut them off in that order back over there, how much more is that true today? Shouldn't we back it up by the Word of God, what's going on? Now listen, I know I've talked to many of you guys, and y'all have had things working through your life and working through that, praise God. If you know, that's between you and God. You with me? But I'm talking, once again, I'm talking about the context here and how we can look at it there. Now, I want you to notice something here. In a passage here that we're looking at in Ephesians, how this power was demonstrated in the context of the passage. Look at Ephesians 4:1. It says, I what?
Therefore,
the what?
Prisoner
of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Was Paul free and delivered from all harm and oppression?
No.
He was a what?
Prisoner.
A prisoner. And if, look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my what?
Tribulations
for you, which is your glory. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I who? Paul, the what? Prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Ephesians 6:19. For me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am what? In what? Bonds. You know, Paul was a guy that was in jail. He was a prisoner. He was bound with chains, as it were. And he praises God and gives for God's ability to do the great things exceedingly abundant, more than he can ask or thought about asking God. And doing it of these Ephesian people. Go back to Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, a lot of people puts a period there and stops there and say, okay, see? Everything you ask and think, God's going to do it. According to what? The power that worketh in us. And to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. It's back there. He is asking this God who can do all things, and he is praising this God who has all the power. And he's in what? He's in jail, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's bound with chains. His ministry is hindered. He can't go out no more, can he? So how does he go out? And in the world was his the power on the, let me ask you, where is the power? Where in the world was the power on display in Paul's life there? If you think about that, where is it at?
In the Word.
In the Word. Isn't it? Because the average ideal that most Christians have is that the way you demonstrate the power of God is you go down over there, over here, and you pray and you ask God to heal somebody and you go and make them well. And that God's going to bless, being blessing through that demonstration. That's how they think that God's power is being demonstrated today. That's not what Paul's doing here. That's not what he's doing. Believe me, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to go and do that for your mom's sake? You know what I mean? Just go and lay hands on her and she's walking another 82 years. You know what I mean? Wouldn't it be awesome
if it puts the focus on something other than him, then it's not of him.
It's not of him. Very good. And we pray, oh God, open this door. How many's done that? I have. I've asked him, Lord, open this door of opportunity. If that job's there, I'll get it. You know, just open that door. You know, I had to come to understanding that door is already open. Your daughter, she's going to some interviews. The door's already open. She just got to walk in there with confidence in who she is and say, you know something? I want that job. And if she don't get it, guess what? She goes to the other door. She don't give up. Mom, I didn't get that job. I'm just going to move in back with you. You know, that type of thing. No, she'll pick herself up, won't she? And move forward. And we pray and ask God to heal somebody. And God says, you know, we asked him to open the doors. And the door miraculously opens up for the ministry. The ministry is already open, guys. We have a worldwide ministry, if you think about it. And where did Paul see it work in the context here? He said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, and in everybody's case but mine, because I'm a poor old guy in jail.
No.
He don't say that. Is Paul our pattern? Doesn't he say, follow me as I follow?
Yeah.
And we got to understand now, as we go down through here, this is early Acts period, if you will. There's a lot of things going on. We do that Wednesday night. We talk about that stuff, don't we? The Acts period is moving, man. Paul's doing things that we find out later he don't do. But think about this. Where the power was being displayed.
And within.
Look at the last two.
Spiritual walk.
Look at the last two.
He walks during the revelation that God has given him.
Okay. But look at the last two words in verse 20. Where is it?
And
that work is finished.
That's where it's being displayed. You know, when you're put on display, it's like those horses and stuff in a display case. You can go over and see it displayed. God's working in us is being displayed in us. And my primary through the local church. You know, it was being displayed in Paul's spiritual perspective and his mental attitude. That's where it's being displayed. He understood some things. And, you know, he could have been bitter being a prisoner, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I would. He could have been bitter about making the appeal that he appealed to. He could have been bitter about, you know, saying, I made a bad move here. I could have made a better move. You know, go back and rehash some things. How many's done that? Boy, I have. Over and over. Hey, I've been with the company 15 years. I still make mistakes. And I still get called in on the carpet. And you know what I do? I say, you're right. What am I going to do better next time? I'm going to do this, this, this. I don't sit back. I got 15 years here. I got 30-some years experience here. And you're going to tell me how to do this? You know, that's very easy to do. That's not walking in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is saying, okay, yes, I did make a mistake. And your integrity's online here now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like who? And they see really who you are versus who they think you are. Ed's going to come after me. Ed's going to come back with both barrels on this. But I look at the circumstances and say, you know something? You're right. That's what this is. That's what that is. And I had to back up. He could have felt perilous because Rome held him captive, Paul. He could have felt trapped and said, I'm just a poor victim of a terrible and unchangeable circumstances. How many's done that? You know, you think about your job. It's very, very important where you're at. If you make one mistake, they can say, come here, Josh. You know, did you check this, check this, check this? Well, I think I did. You know, chances are you did, but there's chances are you missed one step. Because it's always the same. But that one little circumstance can make a difference in pressure, couldn't it? But the thing is, he could have got depressed and mad and irritated about it. And he could have said, you don't have a right to hold me, Rome. You don't have no right. And he can indulge in self-pity. This is where we're going. Oh, woe is me. Why does it always happen to me? Like my son was talking about, he's on that big island. And every time he goes there, something happens to him. He's like, the gods hate me there. You know, that type of thing. And you're like, whoa, self-pity here. You know, I'm like, stick it up, yeah. Makes you angry. He could have done all things, all kinds of human things, but you know what he didn't do? You know what he did do? He responded to the circumstances that was unchangeable and out of his control. And he didn't respond to the situation in his own power and his own wisdom and his own view of circumstances according to the power that worked in him. But he did do it. The power did work in him. God's power worked in Paul in such a way that he could say in chapter 4, verse 1, what does he say? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He knew why he was in jail. You know why he was in jail, don't you? He was in jail for the Lord, wasn't he? That's why he was in jail, and he knew why he was there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And he knew what was going on, and he says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of what? Peace." Do you think that Paul would have told them to do something that he wasn't doing? You know, I think about this sometimes, that, you know, my position here. You know, I'm not saying any of you guys do it, but I'm just saying, okay, Ed's standard's different than my standard. Ed's got to walk this way, talk this way. Ed's got to live in a glass house. But you're back there, you're thinking, but not me. You know, not me. Is that wrong way to think? Aren't we all in this together?
Yeah.
You know, corporately we are. And if it applied to Paul here, you know better than that when he says, let me ask you this, did Paul practice what he preached?
Yes.
That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes I don't want to practice what, so if I don't practice what I preach, I don't preach it. You know, it's like my curveball, like I'm throwing a curveball. You don't get that? That's a cop-out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't do it to perfection.
No, none of us do.
He had shortcomings, too.
No. But do you think that he would have told them to walk worthy with a mind of lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, if he wasn't doing it?
Right.
I don't think he would. We have God's Word here, and we know better than that. And you see that it was the power of God working in Paul that was on display in his mental attitude. It wasn't his display of what power he can go and change circumstances. Wasn't he in prison one time and the earthquake came and the doors opened up? He could have been a free man, couldn't he? But he didn't. He stood there. That's being displayed, being a discerner of the will of God. We look around sometimes as Christians and look at circumstances that don't please us. And we look at situations that we aren't personally happy with. And we look at circumstances and situations and seek and desire to find the ways that we can change them. And change the situation and change the circumstances and make them what we want them to be. You ever done that? I do. If I could change a lot of things while people's not here, I could change. Wouldn't I want to change them? You know, wouldn't I want to change this and that and this? Wouldn't I want to change things in your life if I could? You know, I know many of us are having troubles and issues and health issues. Wouldn't I want to change that circumstances? Yeah, you know you want to. And we begin to pray and ask God to do what?
Change.
We ask them to change the circumstances and change the situation so I can have what I want. And what we should be looking at ourselves is to see what if God has changed us and changed our attitudes and our perspectives about the circumstances so that we, no matter what the circumstances are in our life, we can find ourselves, what we'll find ourselves in, can function there properly and walk worthy of a vocation wherein we are called. That's what's changing us. That's what changed in your life and your kids' life sometimes. You know, we got kids, some of them's walking according to what we asked them to. Some of them's not walking according to what we're asking to. And don't that cause us trouble? You know, I'm like, come on, God, get with the program. And if I can change you, this is what I want to do. Maybe that's the wrong perspective. Maybe it's say, hey, you know, you are who you are. God can change you. We talked about the problems on the streets and stuff, you know, that, you know, get prayer. And you know what's going to change people is get them in the Word. Get them to change their mind. the addictions and stuff our flesh wants. It don't matter if it's anything, money, hungry, whatever. It's an addiction that our body wants. You know, I've been told many times I'm old enough that my wants won't hurt me. And that just crushed me when my wife tells me that. You know, because I want this, 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 this. You know, I'm like, maybe I can't have that. And so I back up and look at the circumstances on who I am in Christ. Well, I can't do that right now. But it's still on my mind. Maybe one day I will. But look. Paul was in a situation he couldn't change circumstances. But yet, in that situation, he functions regardless of the situation. He knew he was. He was a member of the body of Christ that he ought to function. And there was power of God is on demonstration there. Can you imagine being what he went through and sitting in prison and getting ready to die and he didn't change his attitude? He didn't say, Lord, just get me out of this situation. I won't do it again. I've done that 1,001 times. Lord, if you just get me out, I won't. Just make me feel I won't do it again. And I know the Lord is looking at me, you big old liar. You know, I know you. I know your flesh. That's what I died for. You know, you're going to do it anyway. You know, the wages of sin brings what? Yeah. Even if you're saved, the wages of sin brings what? That ain't got nothing to do with you eternally, salvation. But if you keep feeding that sinful flesh and you keep doing the things that you want to do, it's going to kill you. You know that? So what? When we find out we have a heart condition, a liver condition, or a blood condition, whatever case may be, we go to the doctor, we listen to them, we make decisions based on that, don't we? And then we try to change accordingly. Because don't you want to live another day? I mean, you really do. But once you have that hope, you're not afraid of tomorrow, about eternity. You shouldn't be. Should be secure and blessed. Hey, I got a hope. I know I'm preaching at you. I apologize there a little bit. But the thing is, this is what he's praying for the Ephesians to grasp. And if he's praying for the Ephesians to grasp that, shouldn't we be able to grasp that too? And how do you do that? According to the verse there. You are strengthened by the Spirit in where? The inner man. To have Christ dwell in our hearts. And He is our life that flows through your life. And you begin to see how He comprehends that and your participation in the eternal purpose of God. Hey, this picture is a lot bigger than what you and I are. Eternal purpose of God. That's what we found out in the first three chapters of Ephesians, guys. It's a lot bigger. A lot bigger. And the fullness of in your life, especially in this assembly, the local church becomes the holy temple, the shrine that God lives, and where His power and His person and His attitudes and His action are demonstrated. I love to hear when you guys come together and you talk about what you did this week and how you glorified God this week. You know, sometimes I love to hear how you didn't glorify God, because it makes me think my problems wasn't as bad as your problems was, that type of thing. But you know what? You can put the mental attitude on and make decisions based on who you are. That's what we need to do in the demonstrating of God. God's demonstrating of His power of God today is not being delivered from prison. It's not being delivered from drowning. It's not being delivered from diseases and sicknesses. It's not being delivered from financial ruins and reversals, guys. The great demonstration of power of God today in the dispensation of grace is triumphant through the Spirit in the midst of what looks like a defeat. Don't it look defeat when you go and like, man, my job's in jeopardy here. You know, I'm sick. You know, that type of, I have illnesses. But there's a victory in that. You know, I listen to many of you been on an operating table and you look at the doctor and say, hey, there ain't nothing you can do to me. I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? I remember when Dan came out of the operation when he had some things going on a long time ago. He saw me in that hallway. He started quoting 2 Timothy 2:15 for some reason. I'm like, I know what was on his mind. You know? is not being delivered from that stuff. It's the ability to function properly as members of the body of Christ, and it's to have His power. You remember in Ephesians chapter 1:19, what does it say? Ephesians 1:19. And what is exceeding greatest power to usward who believe according to working of His mighty power? When He raised Christ, it brought victory out of what happened to be defeat. And you know what our problem is? In the midst of all this, when He talked about walking loneliness and meekness, we don't want to appear weak, do we? We don't want to appear weak, and we don't want others appear like we're losers. We don't want to be. We always want to appear that we're strong and we're winning. You know, we're victorious.
We are.
And we are in Christ. But in ourselves, we don't want to do that. And you need to learn something about God's grace and how it operates in your life, and what He has to do to get rid of that old man. What do we have to do to get rid of that old man? And next lesson, we're going to pick up on chapter 4. Okay? And we're going to start seeing some things that God is working through Paul, and it can work in our life effectively if we believe it. God, we thank You so much in our life. We thank You for the things You've given us freely through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.